Hello, welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray and Anna Singh. Join us on our writing journey.
Welcome to Diving Into Writing. Today we're going to be talking about barriers, that is, when things get in the way of your writing, which happens to most people at some point, and certainly has happened to us.
We're experts at this subject.
Yes, we are, in a good way, because on a good day we get our writing done. So first of all, I was thinking about the kind of things, how you would notice that you're getting a bit stuck. And it can be all sorts of ways. And I'll say a couple and then maybe you might want to add. So I think one of the signs is just feeling confused generally. And then one that I know, is get involved in doing tasks around the house or, you know, some things that I really didn't need to do. Like recently, reorganising all my photo albums was quite a good one.
You've got beautiful photo albums now.
Well, they're smaller because I decided they were taking up too much space. But actually, that does lead to, I always think about the downside. There is a plus side. You feel more organised if your things are organised, obviously. But going back to the signs, I think one of the things is as well, you know when you're not putting the time aside, which I've just referred to as well. And you might feel a sort of fear of something, but you don't really know what it is. And a lot of people might say that's just feeling a bit creatively stuck. And it might be that you're actually a bit afraid of finishing or a bit afraid of the next step of your project. Or just even a fear that you don't really know what it is.
Don't you ever want to beat yourself up because you've wasted an entire day doing... having a beautiful house.
I never get to that stage. It's more another thing is that you do a lot of unfinished tasks when you're in this state of mind. And then you might feel you have to go a bit deeper. And that's where I would mention again, because I think I've mentioned it before, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, because she talks a lot about the psychological side that even goes before the moment where you realise you're a bit stuck. So she talks about things like trying to clear your life up a bit, not having muddles in your life that then spread into your writing. And she talks about friends that you might decide to keep at a bit more distance, ones who always maybe kind of interrupt your flow and or don't appreciate what you're doing and certainly don't support it. So she talks about what I would call those deeper issues.
I think whether or not you write, some of those things are probably a good idea to aim for. But I kind of also think life's messy.
Yeah, and some writers probably thrive on that as well. Because some people just like more happening. They like to have a sort of edginess to life. And other people do like to have peace and quiet and calm. Mm. But a lot of creative people say, and I think I had a quote about it that I'd written down, and this is from Artist's Way, an artist must have downtime, time to do nothing. We've talked about that before. So you obviously have to set time aside in some way or another, whether it's to clear your head or just because you want to get down to writing on a schedule.
You see, I'm really good at not wasting time watching TV. I make time. But then I can still sabotage myself with Facebook, with just wasting time doing emails or looking at emails that, I mean, you do need to do your emails, but you can also get them done quicker.
Yeah, and you do follow Facebook, don't you?
Yeah, and get sucked in. Get sucked into these negative stories. Or sometimes it's helping people. You know, like you sort of spend time trying to help people.
Yeah.
But you don't know them, and you don't know whether it's actually any use to them. And I'm not quite sure what that's about.
Mm.
Other than sabotaging yourself.
Yeah, but in general, you do fit a lot of writing in, and you produce quite a lot of words. Yeah. And you don't have quite the same barriers that I do, which is probably setting that specific time aside enough, and some other things that we've talked about, which we might mention later as external barriers that happen, things that happen in your life, events that happen in life. But as a general point, I think you get quite a good thing going where you've balanced your life, work and your writing.
I try and write every day. Saying that, I haven't done any writing today, and I pretty much knew that I wouldn't, despite not being at the day job today.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. And is that because all the things you don't have time to do when you're in your day job sort of crowded into the space?
Yes and no. There is an element of that, but I rarely would spend too long cleaning the house or that sort of thing. I'd try and incorporate it a little bit at the time rather than spending a day doing it or whatever. But the stuff I've done today has been enjoyment stuff as well. So meeting a friend and going for a long walk and having breakfast and walking back took quite a lot of the time up, but you can't regret that, can you? Because it's important to...
We are still allowed to enjoy ourselves if we're writers, aren't we?
Yeah.
And also some social contact is good. So, yeah, it's about balance, probably. So when I was talking about the signs, were there any that I missed? Can you remember?
I think that most people know if they give themselves the space to think about it.
Yes.
That they should be writing or could be writing.
Mm.
But there's also those times where people are not enthusiastic about their work, have got to a stage where they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Or feel they don't know what to do, or they don't like a character in the book, or they want to start all over again and tear it up.
Yeah.
There's also those things as well that can happen.
So sometimes it might be that you don't sit down in the first place and sort of get pen to paper at all, or to laptop. But sometimes it might be that you start writing and then go blank.
Mm.
This isn't one I've had too much myself. I tend to write quite well to order, but some people do have that, I know, where they start and they just freeze.
Mm.
So in a bit we'll talk about ways to get out of these things, if we can, from our knowledge of the subject. But, yeah, I think there's a lot in what you've just said. And we do know examples of people who've written out a character, just gone the whole way through the book and decided to change, which must be incredible. It's a brave thing to do, isn't it? But I could see how that could happen. Because you start off with one idea and sometimes it morphs into something quite different.
Or you go off at a tangent. I think perhaps because I don't generally write to a plan, I'm probably more in danger of doing that.
Of going off at a tangent?
Yeah. Or getting lost or...
And then you might like the tangent more than the thing you were writing before. And I sometimes wonder if my subplot could turn into the main plot.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
And you come up with these fancy ideas that just make a lot of work for yourself, though, don't you? You know, like that one that you've just said, that suddenly is more work, isn't it?
Like you suddenly had two books.
Yeah. And you run away from it. Yes, because having two books at the time seemed a good idea.
Yes.
But I hadn't quite thought through the fact that you have to restructure both books in order to make a complete novel.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Mm.
And it can be the fear of the task that freezes you. Like for those people who start and then freeze, it can be just the magnitude of the task.
Mm.
Because it's not like other projects that you might have done at work, where there's a clear beginning, you can kind of see the middle and you know what the end is. Often this is a more complex type of structure, and you know that you've got maybe a certain large number of words expected. Some novels are quite short, but a lot of them are long. So then you feel you've got something quite large that you're tackling.
And even short novels are long. When you haven't got any words.
And even short novels are harder to write because you're trying to get something into very few words, yeah. Which is hard. We can't really talk about this without saying that sometimes it's not internal, it's more outside. And we might come back to the internal. But Virginia Woolf once talked about needing a room of your own to write in. So that's one of the external things we could talk about, is where you might write. Mm. And some people write in a cafe. Mm. You might have to write somewhere like a cafe if your house was too cold or too crowded, or, you know, young children in it maybe who can't be told not to come and disturb, or, you know, that would be upsetting for them. Or just put pressure on your partner that they have to keep the child quiet, because that's a horrible feeling as well. So those kind of external things, as well as what you might call life events. But just on the home thing, one writer recently who's won the Booker Prize was sofa surfing because she was between homes. So these things can happen, and sometimes it can be something like a family crisis or a health crisis.
Mm.
Or somebody else's health crisis, and you end up spending a lot of time doing something supportive with somebody else.
It's just demands on your time.
Yeah.
Demands that you can't negotiate. You know, because if someone needs you, if a loved one needs you, you can't negotiate that, can you?
Mm.
But the other side of that is that you can waste a lot of your energy kind of ruminating and going over what could be or what could become.
Yeah.
And that makes it difficult to give yourself, well, you're not giving yourself space because it's full of those sort of thoughts.
Mm.
I don't know a way around that other than maybe just to write whatever's in your head in order to try and get it in some sort of order.
Yeah, I think if you're feeling anxious or waking up in the night with anxious thoughts or specific fears and worries, writing it down just in a journal sort of way, but not as a part of your writing project perhaps, I think that can be very good. And also almost even better sometimes than talking about it, because it's quite difficult to put some of the feelings you have into words at times like that, but I've found certainly that a poem can be easier for me than going to my novel writing.
Oh, poems scare me.
There's always something scary. You don't have to make it like it's a poem that anyone else is going to read.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can get awkward feelings down in a poem, but certainly a diary I find good as well. But I was thinking about Anne Cleves, because now we've both listened to that.
Yeah.
So Desert Island Discs interview with Anne Cleves was really interesting. She's the author of Vera and something else. Is it Shetland? I think it's Shetland.
Yeah, a series.
On television, yeah. Both on television and, I think, in book form. But anyway, she was talking about her private life issue, which was her husband having a mental health problem. And she found writing helped her deal with that.
Mm.
She found that she got therapy for herself as a carer. But I also thought it was very sensitive what she said about the whole thing, the whole period of her life, and about him. Because she kept being loving. She wasn't resenting that she couldn't get her writing done. But she did say that she found her writing therapeutic. And you say that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
We're a bit different about that, aren't we? Because I sometimes just stop writing if there's something really going on. But you seem to keep writing.
Yeah. When my mum was dying, it was an escape.
Yeah.
Because you can't do any... It's that helplessness.
Yeah.
When you can't do anything to make the situation different or better. So for me, just being able to escape into reading and writing, actually, either.
Yeah. Yeah, I certainly can into reading, more than writing for me.
It's got to be a good book, though.
So I told you about a novel that I'd read called Based on a True Story by Delphine de Vigan. And that was interesting because she turned writer's block into a character. And so it was like her with this friend who, as the book progresses, becomes more of an annoying, upsetting and actually almost malicious friend. And it's like the voice in her. And so her external crisis in this is that her children have grown up and they go off to university at the same time, two children, leaving her with what's called empty nest syndrome, if you believe in that. But it's a thing people talk about. But she feels it got in the way of her writing. And instead of writing it as a crisis or a theory, she just turns it into a person. It's quite a fascinating thing to do, I think.
I can just picture her now. After what we were just talking about, I can just picture her just journaling about writer's block, all this, and how that could morph into a character. I can see how that...
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's how it happened.
Well, yeah, they meet at something like a publisher's party, I think it was, and recognise something of interest in each other. And then gradually the friendship, but also the tension builds up and the other character becomes more and more interfering and aggressive and giving negative messages.
So
that links with what you said about imposter syndrome, that can be a problem. Somebody's feeling.
We can all do that to ourselves. In fact, I do wonder whether there is anyone that doesn't have that.
I think probably we all have it to an extent, but maybe some people have it more than others. Or maybe at some times in your life you have it more.
Yeah. If knowing about it actually helps, doesn't it? Because if you're aware of it, you know what's happening. So you can ignore it. Oh, right on, regardless.
Yeah, and I think another really good thing is that some quite high-profile people now talk about those kinds of things. And people that we think are very confident in whatever they're doing quite often say they actually feel like they're just beginners and they don't really know what they're doing. And that's kind of reassuring that people now dare to talk about it a bit more.
And it makes me think about, you know, external validation. So, book reviews and how fragile that is.
Yeah.
Or going for awards and that sort of thing. And how, on one level, it does give you that validation. And on another level, if you need that validation, you're on fragile ground.
Yeah, I agree, because... One year someone can be so popular, it's like film stars, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or series on television, and the next year they can be forgotten, and it's very similar with authors.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I don't want to get too negative, because of course there are huge positives in getting published, but I did read that the statistics of staying up front in a bookshop are quite low, so you might have a splash of attention and that can easily pass. So unless you've got particular skills at keeping your profile going, and some people have that, it can be quite difficult to keep your momentum, to keep your state of mind stable enough. And maybe that's a good lead in to talking about Reasons to Stay Alive by Matt Haig. But I would like to say that Fern Cotton's interview with Matt Haig I thought was very interesting. So if anyone needs to know this, Fern Cotton has got a podcast series called Happy Place, and Matt Haig is interviewed on it. And we are going to talk a bit later about mental health, so I won't go too much into this now, but he wrote Reasons to Stay Alive after a crisis of his own, and then he became very successful. But he does talk about that even now that he's successful, that he still has some blocks or issues from time to time. So I would encourage anyone to listen to that and read his books. So have we got on to thinking about what to do about any of this? I think perhaps we have.
Well, I know what sort of things work for me, and it's so for me, and this, I know this isn't the case for a lot of people, but writing every day is, and just having that routine and that automatic, I've got half an hour, so I'll do some writing. That works for me. Writing and expecting it to be shit is another thing.
Yeah.
Rather than striving to come out with beautiful prose, just kind of thinking, well, this is my first rough draft, and I'll take it from there. So about having realistic expectations, also having a goal, whether that be... I'm not big, personally, on word count as a goal, just because I'd have no problems writing 2,000 really crappy words a day, but it wouldn't necessarily forward my novel.
No.
So I'd rather not aim for a word count.
You've mentioned before the egg timer idea.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. When my mother-in-law won't win the egg timer. Yeah. It is quite a noisy egg timer, as in it ticks, ticks, ticks while it's actually going round. So you can hear it like counting down.
Yes, that could be very annoying, actually.
It is quite effective, actually.
This is one of my ideas for solution. Buy yourself a nice notebook, and have you seen what it says?
One line a day.
Yeah.
It is pretty nice.
That's good, isn't it? Because it doesn't make you feel too stressed. Only one line a day.
I've written something
in it already. So far we've got the ideas that you can either time or do words if you prefer, but we wouldn't, you wouldn't do the word count. I don't think I would either, to be honest.
It might work for some
people. It does work for some people, I know. And actually, a lot of writers talk about they set a time aside, particular time. So usually it's morning, but I know of examples where they've said they write at night. Because a lot of that's to do with your metabolism and whether you prefer, whether you're an early bird or not.
For me, it's opportunity.
Yeah, for you it is, yeah. And for most people, you've got more energy in the morning. And I think we've already talked about as well, right side of the brain is in gear in the morning when you first get up, because it's your dream side.
But what about late at night? Because it's you're going to sleep.
Yeah, well, maybe that happens. Maybe that's why some people like it late at night. I would find first thing after lunch hardest because I'd feel most sleepy. That's the time when I often feel sleepy, but it depends on who it is
and what
you've had for lunch. And I'd like to talk about a different aspect than routine, although routines can be very good. And that is the people, which is, do you surround yourself with people who encourage you and are supportive and are positive? Or do you surround yourself with a lot of people who are full of problems and negative and sort of draw your energy from you? That if you do, I don't mean you, of course, I mean anybody, how can you stop yourself from doing that, losing all your energy to someone who's a drain? And with friends, you can obviously decide to see them less. Sometimes we can't do that with family. And you just have to put up with it. But if you have a choice, and I once did an exercise, and I think it might be from Artist Way, where you had to draw a circle and you put the people who help you and support you and are positive in the middle, and the people who are energy draining and things like that around the edge, and you had to just think about putting them at a bit more distance. So it is important to think about the people around you. And I'd also picked up this phrase, a believing mirror, from Julia Cameron as well, which is someone who believes in you. And I think it's great if we can find something like that. But failing that, a group of like-minded people, get around some other artists, not necessarily writers. And you've got a musician very near to you. I like talking to musicians.
I have to watch out with him, though, don't I? Because he can be Mr. Critical if you let him read your work.
But he does understand the creative process the need to have time to do stuff, and he understands that. So that can be very good. We've talked a bit before about not having someone who actually sabotages or says something so critical you don't recover.
That's not obviously not his intention. His intention is to make things better.
Yes.
But, and to be constructive. But,
And in the same way, you can kind of feed the good side, if you like, of life by having adventures and, like you said today, meeting some people you like or somebody you like, or going somewhere you like. And Julia Cameron talks about an artist date. And I, at the beginning, when I first read the book, I did do this and it was good. I might start again. Which is to put a day aside, or an afternoon or morning if you're working shorter time, and you do something artistic, and it's very broad. You just go off. Either you could wander around an art gallery or a museum, or you can go and buy stuff to make a picture, sticky picture with things on, or anything that just feeds that side of you that's quite artistic. And all of those things can be helpful, or some of those anyway. I hope you find that, anyone who's listening. I'm wondering if there's any more make time I've written in capital letters.
Easier said than done. But I suppose it's about how important writing is to you. And not giving up, I think, is the other thing. If your novel doesn't sell, or, remembering why you're doing it, and whether it's a long-term thing or just something you want to experience.
Yes, we haven't talked so much about having a goal or a vision of why you want to write. I remember once thinking about, or reading somewhere, to think about why you want to write a book, if it's a whole book. Is it because you want to see it on a shelf in the shop? Or is it just to know you've done it personally? Or is it you want money? Some people do write for money. I find that kind of, if that was the only reason, I feel like you wouldn't do a good job. But having some kind of goal or vision of what you want probably helps to keep the enthusiasm going. Shall we quote that Eckhart Tolle thing I said? Enthusiasm.
Can you find it?
Yeah. Enthusiasm means there's a deep enjoyment in what you do, plus the added element of a goal or vision that you work towards. That's Eckhart Tolle, Oneness with All Life. And the other one I'd written down was Chekhov. If you want to work on your art, work on your life. That seems to fit quite well with what we've been talking about.
Yeah, I think the other thing is recognising that you can't just sit down, or maybe some people can, but I know when I first started writing, I did think, well, I can just sit down and write a novel.
Yes.
Well, I did, and then, but it was a bit rubbish.
Yeah, you did write a novel, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
well,
then
it was easy because I didn't bother with any of the pesky rules that...
Did you even think, am I writing in first person or third person? Or did you just do what came naturally?
No, I did think that much. And I wrote it in present tense. Then I changed it to past because I read somewhere that that's what you should do. And then I decided I didn't like it. I changed it back.
Yeah, well, this is a good thing for us to have been talking about because people will know that you can change your mind and stumble about, and maybe that's all part of it.
Yeah, I think that you do learn a lot just from stumbling about, but you will get better. So I think what I'm trying to say is if you're a bit rubbish to start with, don't worry. Everyone is, or most people are. There might be the odd one, the odd genius out there. But actually, just working at it, you can learn.
Yes. And if you were making a pot out of clay and you went to turn a pot on one of those...
Kilns.
Is that... No, the kiln's what you put it in.
Oh.
Anyway, you know what
I mean. Pottery wheel.
Yeah. And you wouldn't expect to make a perfect pot, would you? I mean, you have to do practice.
I'd expect to make a mess.
Yeah, you would make a mess. And gradually you get so that you can hone it and make it fine thing and add your embellishments to it. And maybe there's something of that in writing as well.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, are we leaving it there?
I think we might.
Okay, bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.